dismissed for junior worship. Well, I did a little research on Labor Day. We're Labor Day weekend, and I'm going to talk a little bit about that today, this idea of labor and work. Labor Day originated in the late 1800s, and it was basically, you know, some of the workers and unions and so forth kind of got together early on and decided there needed to be a time to recognize and celebrate the contributions of workers in the different trades and the contributions to the way they strengthen the society and the country and the well-being of everyone. And so as Christians, above all people, we honor and celebrate the work that we do in life. And the reason we do this, first and foremost, that I want you to know, and I kind of want you to make this connection this morning, is because we actually have a God who works. We have a God who is a working God. And He created us. We've been studying in our Wednesday morning Bible study, just beginning in the book of Genesis a few weeks ago, and we were reading all about God's work in creation and how at the end of that cycle He rested, but first He worked. And one of the things that it means in Genesis when it talks about you and I, human beings, men and women, male and female, being created in the image of God, is that like God, we are created in at least part of our purpose is the purpose of the work that we do in life. In fact, in Genesis 2:15, again, Genesis 2 is before the fall, right? If you want to go sequentially, the fall doesn't occur till Genesis 3. But in Genesis 2, the creation account there, where God creates everything and places the man, and it says that the Lord took the man in Genesis 2:15, put him in the Garden of Eden to work it and to take care of it. And so labor for the Lord is part of our original purpose. It's not something, in other words, that is punishment for sin. It's not something that God came along and said, well, Adam and Eve, you messed up, and so part of your punishment is you have to work now. But rather, God created us for the purpose of laboring for His glory. Now, it is true that work got a whole lot harder after the fall. All of a sudden, there were thorns and thistles, and things got difficult. But work itself is part of the image bearing. We were created to work for the Lord and to oversee this creation, this world that we've been given to live in. Now, God designated and designed us to work in a variety of ways. And that's what we're really going to talk about. I'm going to talk about these different areas as I kind of did a little study of Scripture this week in the area of labor and work. And I want to kind of have us do a little time of self-evaluation as I walk through these different areas of work that the Lord has for every one of His children to be engaged in. So kind of be thinking as I go through these, how am I doing in these in this area? We're going to look at three or four of them this morning. And so let's get our bulletins out if you want to follow along. And we're going to look at the four areas of our labor for the Lord. The first one is our labor of vocation. Now, some of us are here, are retired, and we kind of formally, in a formal way, we've moved past that. Some of us are still right in the middle, in the thick of, we have jobs, we work for a living. Whatever it is that you do, whatever your station of life, whether you're in a formal job right now, whether you're retired and your work has taken a different shape and form these days, whether you're a farmer, whether you're a factory worker, whether you're a stay-at-home mom, whether you're a student, whatever it is, God has a word for you about the work that you do. In Ephesians 6, 7, it says, and he's speaking in this context to a very bad situation in that culture. There were slaves and there were slave owners, and he was instructing the slaves here. But I think it's a principle that actually applies to all workers in all contexts, whether good or bad. And he says there, serve wholeheartedly, as if you were serving the Lord, not men. Whatever it is you do in life, we have a principle that has to guide each and every one of us in what we do. We probably all have bosses. Even if you're retired, you know, your wife's your boss, right? Is that how that works? No? Manager? But here's the deal. We all have to develop the discipline and the mindset that we understand that ultimately who we work for, what we do, is we represent the Lord. And He is literally, ultimately, the one that we answer to. The big bonus that comes at the very end, that isn't going to come from your earthly boss. That comes from the Lord. And we have to develop a mindset that whatever we do wholeheartedly. And the reason we do it wholeheartedly, all out, the best we can, is because we are working for the Lord, unto the Lord, not merely for men. And I'm telling you, if you're in a tough situation, you're in a kind of a difficult job, or you have a difficult boss, this is a life saver. This is a perspective changer. I mean, it's wonderful if you love who you're working for and it's a great environment. But let's face it, sometimes it's tough. And sometimes things aren't really fair. And sometimes this can be overwhelming. But this perspective of, okay, Lord, every day I get up and I go and I do what I do, but I am doing it for You, Lord. I am doing what I do unto the Lord. And even if I don't get recognized, you know, here, even if things are unfair here, I am going to do my job for You, Lord. I answer to You. You are my boss. We all have the same boss, so to speak. Proverbs 16:3 puts it this way, and this is a mindset that we all have to have. Again, whether you have a formal job, whether you're retired, whether you are a student, the proverb says, commit your work to the Lord. Commit your work to the Lord and your plans will be established. Now, Proverbs is not an absolute promise. Proverbs are made up of principles, general truths. And the general truth is that if you will take this mindset that I am going to commit whatever it is I'm doing, I'm going to have an attitude of faith, of consecration, that I'm going to take my day, whatever it is that I'm doing today, whether I'm working in the garden, whether I'm going to the factory, whether I'm going to school, I am going to commit today to the Lord. I'm going to commit what I'm doing to the Lord. Lord, today belongs to You. I've got, this is my list. This is my agenda. This is what I got to do today. But I'm not just going to go do it. I'm not just going to go through the motions. I'm committing it to You. Meaning, this day belongs to You, God, meaning that I want to be Your instrument today, God. I want to do Your work. I want to be Your person today in everything that I do. I'm going to have conversations with people. I'm going to demonstrate either integrity or lack of integrity. I'm either going to show kindness to other people, or I'm not. And by committing my work to the Lord, I'm saying, Lord, I want to represent You well in everything that I do today. Commit your work to the Lord. I was thinking back just as kind of looking at this labor of vocation at some of the jobs I've had through the years. And kind of in between ministry and as I was preparing for ministry, I had some pretty interesting jobs. In high school, I had one of those morning paper routes. I got up about 5 in the morning, 4:35. and went and delivered papers in my car. Lisa remembers we were dating at the time. She's shaking her head very slowly right now because I was a pack rat. And so my car, maybe you notice a car here in the neighborhood that's full to the top. Maybe you've seen that. That was my car. It was full of newspapers clear to the back because I just never cleaned out the old ones. But I learned a lot. You know, high school student, got up early before school because I had sports after school. It was kind of my first real job. One summer I had a job in high school. It was a tire retreading factory. And so my first job was to pull all of the, unload the semis full of old tires that had wire sticking out of them. And I'd get gouged and it was hot in there. And what we did was we baked on a new, tread on the tire, on the new ones. And they put them in this real hot oven. And my job then afterwards was to take this black tarry paint and spray paint these tires. And I usually got more on me than I did on the tires. I have a couple pictures of me standing there with no shirt on when I was in high school. And all you can see is the whites of my eyes. The worst job I ever had, though, was in seminary. I painted houses, but they didn't always have enough work. So one time I had to go to a temp agency and I got a job cleaning animal cages for test animals in the hospital. And it stunk so bad, this chemical that we had to clean it with. And I actually only worked one day. I went one day. And I realized that in that whole day, I made about $20. And I just decided, this isn't worth it. So thankfully, the house painting picked back up. But it was kind of tough in some of those jobs to take this mindset of, Lord, today belongs to you. And I'm going to do everything I do today unto the Lord. But that's what he calls us to do. I read a book a few years ago, and maybe you've heard of this book. It's kind of well known, but it's written several centuries ago. There was a guy, a monk, and his name was Brother Lawrence. Anybody ever heard of Brother Lawrence? That's probably not too well known today, but he wrote a book called The Practice of the Presence of God. And Brother Lawrence, he wasn't kind of like the leader in the monastery where he was at. He was at the bottom of the totem pole, and he basically worked in the kitchen. And he scrubbed the floors, and he made the meals, and he scrubbed the pots and the pans. But Brother Lawrence developed this passion for walking with the Lord right in the middle of cleaning the kitchen and washing the dishes and baking the bread. He wrote this book called The Practice of the Presence of God. In it, he writes a couple of things I thought were noteworthy. He says, people invent means and methods of coming at God's love. They learn rules and set up devices to remind them of that love. And it seems like a world of trouble to bring oneself into the consciousness of God's presence. Yet it might be so simple. Is it not quicker and easier just to do our common business wholly for the love of Jesus? For Brother Lawrence, common business, it says, no matter how mundane or routine, was where he met with God in his love. The issue was not the sacredness or the worldly status of the task. In other words, it didn't matter whether he was like, I get the privilege of preparing sermons, and you might consider that a sacred duty. And you might consider, you know, scrubbing pots and pans kind of a secular thing or a worldly thing. But to Brother Lawrence, it was all the same. He said, no matter what it is I'm doing it as an act of worship to the Lord. And I'm praising the Lord as I do it. He says this, the issue is not the sacredness or the worldly status of the task, but the motivation of my heart behind it. He says this, "Nor is it needful that we should have great things to do. We can do little things for God. I can turn the cake that is frying on the pan for the love of Jesus. And that done, if there is nothing else to call me, I prostrate myself in worship before Him who has gone, who has given me grace to work. And afterwards, I rise happier than a king. It is enough for me to pick up a straw from the ground for the love of God." So basically, Brother Lawrence faced every day like this. God, it's you and me. We're going to do this together. Whatever it is I'm doing, God, it's you and me. And we're going to do this together. And I'm going to do this with my mind conscious that you are there with me. And I'm going to do this as an act of worship to you. I don't know if you've ever thought about that. But did you know that you can work your garden for the glory of God? I had to take my car in to be fixed, the van, this week. And I actually went, Chopper, who's not here this morning, but I took my van to Chopper and watched him work on my car. I just kind of sat and watched and we talked a little bit. But man, you can turn a wrench for the glory of God. And you can sow your seed and harvest your crops for the glory of God. Mike Smith here, he took me on a little tour of his bee factory a couple weeks ago. And man, you can do that. You can make honey for the glory of God. In fact, there's a lot in that that brought glory to God as you look at the nature and how God created. And pretty awesome. But whatever it is that you do, John, you can deliver mail for the glory of God, right? Amen. Whatever it is, it doesn't matter what it is you do. So fill in the blank with what your days are filled with right now and say, I can do that for the glory of God. And it's all about the motive of my heart and the mindset into which I approach it. So how are you doing in that area? That's the goal here. That's all I wanted to say about that is, are you giving your work life, whatever it is that really over into God's hand? Are you daily coming before God and saying, God, today as I go to work, today as I do whatever it is I'm going to do, I want to do it for you and I want to do it with you. So that's the first area. The second area of our labor for the Lord is the labor of evangelism. Evangelism. That's just a big old fancy old word in the Bible for sharing our faith. Look at this passage. And we actually looked at this briefly a couple weeks ago in another context. But I was drawn back to it this week. Matthew 9 is this account. Jesus went through the towns and villages teaching in their synagogues, preaching the good news of the kingdom and healing every kind of disease and sickness. And then verse 36, this is Matthew 9, 36. When Jesus saw the crowds, he had compassion on them because they were harassed and helpless like sheep without a shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, "The workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field. The harvest is ripe." I missed that part. The fields are white unto harvest. The harvest fields are ready to be harvested. Who is going to do it? Now, here's a couple of things I want to say about this area of that we are all called to. We are all called to be witnesses for the Lord. The first thing, though, I want you to notice is how Jesus himself models for us the right heart attitude. I want to ask you, as you think about when you come across people out in society, maybe you're over at Walmart walking through and it's crowded in Walmart. Maybe you're, you know, at the Harvest Time restaurant sitting there eating lunch. Maybe you're at work and you're looking around at the people that work with you. And you just see the everyday people of everyday life. Jesus looked at those people and he had a heart filled with what? What's the word? Compassion. He didn't just see them with physical eyes, but he saw them and he calls us to see people with spiritual eyes. We don't just look at their bodies and their personalities, but God says, I want you to look past that and I want you to look at their soul. I want you to be curious about where that person is, where that crowd of people, where are they spiritually at? What do they know about the Lord? Do they know the Lord? And we know the answer to that. Oftentimes the answer is no. They're far from God. They're lost. That description, harassed and helpless, that could be a description of any crowd you see today. It's just a way of describing, man, they're lost. They're wandering around. They're leaderless. And I think we need to see that the heart of Jesus for those people was not anger, and it wasn't ultimately in that moment a critical spirit or judgment, but his heart for the people were they were lost. Now he was looking at a group of Jews, probably a Jewish crowd in his day, because that's where he was at, and they were being kind of led astray in a wrong direction by their spiritual leaders, right? The Pharisees and the Sadducees and all those groups that we read about, they had gotten it wrong. They had missed the boat. And they were leading these people in a harsh way, in a way that really wasn't leading them towards God. And Jesus looked at him and his heart was broken for them. And he knew he was going to die for those very people. But he also knew this, that after his death and his resurrection, he was not going to go out and share anymore with these people. He was going to go back to heaven, right? And he was going to hand the baton of responsibility off to his disciples. And his disciples were going to hand those off to the people that they shared with. And eventually, you know what happened? Idaville First Church of God, somewhere along the way, the baton got handed to you and to me. And now it's our turn to carry the responsibility. And it starts with, what is your attitude toward people that don't know the Lord? What is your attitude and mindset towards people that are far from God? And the only right answer, if you're going to be a Jesus follower, is you've got to have a heart. You've got to cultivate a heart of tender compassion for those people that need the Lord. It cannot be an attitude of we're over here and we've got our act together because we go to church and we know the Lord and we're better than those people that don't know the Lord. If that's your any kind of semblance of that is your mindset, then you don't know the Lord. You think that you're saved because of how good you are. A person that knows the Lord is a person who says, I am a sinner, saved by grace. And that person is a sinner that needs God's grace in their life. And so the question that Jesus asked in this passage is, who is going to go out, pray for the Lord to raise up workers? And so part of our work, as we think about Labor Day weekend and our labors for the Lord, is the work of witness. John and Julie and I had lunch this week, and I was asking them about their small group, and we've been talking a little bit about their small group, and they're talking about, hey, we want to do something on sharing our faith, on evangelism, and kind of the first thing that we talked about, or kind of what I said to them, and this passage was on my mind when we were talking, is a class on evangelism by itself won't do the trick. Because the barrier for most people in sharing their faith is not that I don't know how. Now that may be something that needs to be addressed for sure. But the first level of the problem is I don't have a burden in my heart for people that are lost. I really don't care about their eternal destiny. And until, and this has always been my contention and my experience, until I cultivate and develop and even pray for a burden in my own heart for people that are far from God, I'm not going to take the time and the risk of sharing my faith. And so I want to ask you this morning, when it comes to this labor of evangelism, do you actually, emotionally, have a burden and a compassion for the people that God has put into your life that don't know the Lord? Do you even think about that aspect very often? Do you think about the reality that if these people, these friends, these family members, these people that are in your life, if they die without putting their faith in Christ, they will be eternally lost? Is your heart filled with a burden that they come to know the Lord? A burden that is enough that you would begin to actually pray for them to know the Lord. We do a lot of praying around here. We pray for a lot of things. But I don't actually hear very often somebody bringing up the prayer request of, I just want to pray that this friend of mine would come to know Jesus, that they would accept Jesus as their Savior, that they would come to understand their need for salvation and the love that God has for them. That's what we need to be praying for. And here's the good news. I think that God can increase our burden. It's not just something you have or you don't have. This is something that as you grow deeper in the Lord and you become more worshiping of God and because of what He's done for you through Jesus, you can grow that burden, that compassion for lost people. And that's what motivates us. That's what moves us to share our faith, to open our mouths, to build those connections, and to risk, you know, rejection and say, can I just share with you what Jesus has done for me, what Jesus means to me, what Jesus has done in my life? This is part of our labor. It's the labor of evangelism. So where are you at there? How are you doing there? And maybe you just start with, God, increase my burden. Increase my compassion. God, I've gotten into a rut where I look at people that don't know the Lord and I just feel kind of cynical and I just feel kind of indifferent. God, catch my heart on fire again. Help me to be one of those people that says, you know, who am I going to send? Help my answer to be, Lord, send me. Send me, Lord. I want to be one of those workers that's going to go. Well, there's a third area of labor. Again, kind of switching gears again one more time. Our labor of ministry to the body. If our labor of evangelism is, we might say, an outward focus to those obviously outside the church because they don't know the Lord yet, there's also a call for all of us as Christians to serve and minister and work in the church for other believers. This is called the using of our spiritual gifts and passions and talents that God has given us. I love the way it's put in 1 Peter 4, 10 and 11. It's very clear. Each one should use whatever gift he has received to serve others. Faithfully administering God's grace in its various forms, meaning we all have different kinds of gifts, different abilities and things that we're passionate about that God has given us. And he gives a couple of examples. In fact, he kind of divides it into two general groups. Verse 11, if anyone speaks, he should do it as one speaking the very words of God. So some of us have teaching gifts and kind of upfront gifts. That's, I'm your pastor and hopefully I have that gift. But so he's telling me, as I do my work for the Lord, I have to have a certain mindset. I need to speak as if I'm speaking the very words of God. I need to speak the word of God. That's why I preach to you from the Bible and I don't just make up stuff. I preach from God's word, but I'm also supposed to preach it with conviction. This is what God has put on my heart. That's why I have to pray every week before I prepare, as I prepare. God, what would you want me to say? Where do I go with this particular passage? What do the people need to hear about this particular truth? And so some of us have teaching responsibilities, whether it's Sunday school, whether it's children, whether it's just sitting in a meeting, making decisions. Then he goes on, he says at the second half, if anyone serves, he should do it with the strength that God provides, so that in all things God may be praised through Jesus Christ. To him be the glory and the power forever and ever. Amen. So there's kind of the speaking up front gifts, but then there's a whole slew of gifts that are serving gifts. It's the behind the scenes. It's the person that, you know, it's just endless, the number of things that need to be done in the church. And most of them are serving gifts. It's preparing a meal. It's cleaning. It's being a helper in a ministry. And those are just some of the formal ministry kind of things. A lot of times when we're serving with our gifts, it's just on your own, things you decide to do to bless other people in the body of Christ. But he says, whatever it is that you do, do it with the strength of the Lord, which requires surrender, which requires us to go and don't just go through the motions. Even right now, think about the things you do for the church and maybe a role, a responsibility that you have. Man, I can get in the habit of, well, I know what I'm supposed to do. I'm just going to go do it. No. I've got to do it in the strength of the Lord, which means I got to stop and say, God, I need to do this in your strength. I need you, Lord. I don't want to just get the job done so I can check it off. I want to bless other people. I want to be an instrument that you use to bless other people, Lord. So I got to prepare my heart. I got to make sure my heart is right. I'm thinking about the Wednesday night ministry that's getting ready to start up this week, man. We don't want to just go through the motions, do we? We want to love these kids with the love of Jesus. Whether you're preparing a meal, teaching a lesson, whether you're leading, Crystal's going to be doing crafts and we're going to be doing games and we got a number of things we're going to do. We want to do it prayerfully. So whatever, that's just an example, whatever it is that you're doing. Ministry to the Lord. It's what builds each other up. Well, there's a fourth area, and we'll just end with this real quick. Our labor of stewardship. Our labor of stewardship. Proverbs 3, 9 and 10 says, honor the Lord with your wealth, with the first fruits of all your crops. Then your barns will be filled to overflowing and your vats will brim over with new wine. Did you know that in the Old Testament, they didn't pass around a collection plate and they didn't deal in cash money like we are used to doing? It was an agricultural setting. And, you know, their offering was the fruit of their crops back to the Lord and so forth. And the principle, though, is that as a result of the labor that I do in the Lord, this area of stewardship is I have a recognition that all that I have, all that I've been given, actually belongs to who? Me or God? It belongs to God. And this first fruit offering, which is repeated in the New Testament as the giving of our tithes and offering, this is the idea that we say, God, I recognize that all I have belongs to you. And as an act of worship, the first thing that I'm going to do is offer a portion of it back to you. And I'm going to do that faithfully. And that's part of my spiritual responsibility. And so, you know what? The first check that I write each cycle of the month is to the church. And in my priority, that comes before my bills and anything else, especially any extra, spending I'm doing or anything I'm purchasing, give to the Lord first. It says in 2 Corinthians that we should give what we've decided, what we've determined before the Lord in our hearts to give, and we are to give it joyfully. And so part of the fruit of our labor is giving back to the Lord. And there's a promise there that God will take care of us and God will provide for us as we are faithful in that. So friends, labor for the Lord. These are four areas. Just there's probably more. I just kind of, as I was studying, the Lord brought these to my attention. And I just want to ask yourself again one more time as we close, kind of, Lord, how am I doing in these areas? How am I doing in the area of my vocation or my, if I'm retired, in the way that I'm spending my days? Am I really given every day to the Lord and working for the Lord? In the area of evangelism, Lord, do I have a burden for lost people, or has my heart grown cold and hard? Lord, revive my compassion. In the area of serving and working in the church, frankly, for some in our church, it's time to get off the sidelines and into the game. It's time to stop being people that only come to Sunday morning worship, but that is all that you do in terms of serving the Lord. Step up. Ask God, God, where do you want me to serve? I'm gonna step up and do one thing. Whatever it is, Lord, I'm going to look for opportunities. We have a lot of people that serve so faithfully, and I'm not browbeating anybody, but for some, it's time to step up and get involved and serve. And then, Lord, finally, am I being faithful in giving the first fruits of your provision unto the Lord? Let's pray together. Father, thank you so much for this morning, for the opportunity just to reflect a little bit on this faithful responsibility that we have to do our work unto the Lord. This Labor Day weekend, as we celebrate work and the fruit of work as a country, Lord, we have a special reason to celebrate. And Lord, we need to have a godly, biblical perspective about this area of work. And so my prayer this morning is that, Lord, if we need to make some adjustments as we've listened to the message today, if you're sitting here in your seat today and you feel like, man, that area I'm a little weak in, boy, I've really kind of gotten sloppy in my perspective. May today be a day where we rededicate our hearts to doing our labor unto the Lord. Lord, may you be glorified as we fall in line with your purposes in this area of our lives. Amen.